T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Tim Reynolds, who covers the NBA for the Associated Press. He's with us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Tim, thanks for joining us. How are you today?
I'm doing good. How are you guys doing?
Not bad. You know, we're all hoping to see some sports in what's been obviously a weird time. And, you know, every day I wake up and I'm like, I love sports. I miss sports. And then there's a part of me that says, should we be playing sports now? I don't know. I'm not sure what the right answer is. And I don't know if anybody has the right answer. I know I saw a tweet from you earlier today where you mentioned that Orange County, Florida, testing 10% positives on tests yesterday, which is obviously the positive tests in that area have been going up. Is that a concern for the NBA right now?
It's a big concern for the NBA right now. And it's because, like, people, like, Twitter always goes crazy. Like, 11 o'clock or so every morning is when Florida updates the numbers. And every day, people go crazy about the totals. Today's another 3,000. Today's another 2,000. Don't worry about the totals. Look at the percentages of positives. Look at the percentages of positive tests. In the Orlando area, guys, 2 weeks ago, there was a day when they were testing at about 1.5%. They were 12% yesterday, 10% today. Yeah. It's a huge spike right now in the Orlando area. So the concern is, it's not what's going on outside the bubble per se. The concern is, if you're going to bring these guys there, if you're going to bring 22 teams and staff and media, you have to keep the sanctity of the bubble as pristine as you can. Like, if you're going to do this, you've got to be all in on the level of seriousness about the bubble. Because in theory, if everybody goes there, quarantines, is tested, passes multiple tests, and then doesn't go into the Orlando area, doesn't leave this clean space of the bubble, in theory, you're probably going to be okay. Mm-hmm, right. It only works in theory. You've got to really respect the rules, and that's why that document we all got the other night is 110 pages or whatever it is long, because they've thought of probably as much to as close to everything as they could have come up with.
How's the hospitalization down there right now with the COVID
stuff?
So
hospitalization rates in Florida actually are not spiking anywhere near on the same level as the positive test rate. For example, in Orlando, I'm trying to get my data right. I don't have it in front of me. Let's say about 3 weeks ago, about one in every seven cases of COVID-19 led to a hospitalization. Now it's 1 in 10. So it's peculiar, guys. More people clearly are testing positive for it. We all know that. A higher rate of people are testing positive for it. We all know that. The numbers that the state is presenting to us suggest that the hospitalization rates are not going up on the same level. And doctors down here in Miami, doctors really all across South Florida, have said that there is more than enough ICU space here so that they're not totally panicked.
Right.
You are seeing in Miami and in Monroe County, which is the Key West area, which is south of us, you are seeing a movement now to maybe not have as much open as it was. You're definitely seeing more stressing of wearing masks in any building. If you're anywhere, wear the mask. People are getting away from that, guys. People are relaxing on the masks. Either they don't like them or they don't feel it's necessary. Or if it's for whatever reason, it's just when things relaxed and you started seeing more people outside without masks on, the numbers rose. It's and it can't be a coincidence.
We're talking with Tim Reynolds of the Associated Press. Tim, let's talk about some of the things that, Kyrie Irving and the, you know, the group of players that were on his conference call. I know it wasn't as many the second time. Are some of the things, you know, obviously, you know, Kyrie has said some weird stuff over the years, right? I mean, the flat earth and some of these bizarre things. But I think his point about, hey, maybe we shouldn't play because of the movement in this country and what's going on. I think a lot of people want to scoff at him because he's Kyrie Irving and he said weird things. I think that's a point that's worth discussing. I mean, I understand where he's coming from on that. You may not love the messenger on that, but I understand the message. I don't say that. I don't mean that means they shouldn't play players, and I don't think they're not going to play. But I think it's unfair to blow off the message from that because of the messenger.
I think it's unfair to ignore the entirety of the message because it's Kyrie. You're right. Absolutely right. I think if it had been, let's say it was Stephen Curry. Let's say Steph said exactly those words. If Steph was the organizer, if Steph said those things, the perception would be much, much different because Steph gets ultimate benefit of the doubt, as a lot of guys in the league do, and Kyrie does not get that. Because of flat earth, because of a lot of things. I personally think he doesn't want to go to Disney because the ride's not called It's a Flat World. I think that's probably part of the reason why he doesn't want to go to Disney. It's easy to point fun, to poke fun at Kyrie, but you have to respect what he's saying. The thing that people don't get about Kyrie, unless you've been around him for a long time, he's incredibly intelligent.
Like, oh, yeah.
Crazy, crazy, crazy smart guy. And sometimes I do think that sometimes he just operates. He goes to a plane that a lot of people just don't understand. And maybe some people don't want to understand it. But I think sometimes Kyrie just says things that seem so normal to him. Forget the flat earth stuff. Like, we know that wasn't necessarily serious. But in this, he just. He speaks in a way that people aren't used to hearing, so they dismiss it.
Yeah.
I think you have to respect it. He raises valid points. I do know, at least from what I'm guessing, from what the players I've talked to, from the agents, from the teams I've talked to, it resonated with guys. It absolutely did. It made them think. I don't think he turned a lot of guys around. I think most guys on these 22 teams are going to show up. But he made people think, and I think that's ultimately what Kyrie was trying to do.
You know, sorry, Bull, go ahead.
Yeah, Tim, in terms of, you know, a real concern for the bubble, I know some of the players were concerned about not having their families there. And, you know, with everything going on right now, I don't blame players right now for not wanting to be away from their families. How big a concern is that for guys and for the league right now?
Well, it's huge. I mean, they're telling guys to go on July 7th, 8th, or 9th, depending on which phase you're in. And if you make the second round, you will not have your family there until August 30th. And then it may really be like another week after that until you can see them, because once they go there, they're going to have to quarantine for 7 days as well. So it's a really hard ask. And also, too, guys, if remember, now we're getting into first week of September. If your kids are in school, if your kids are school age, has school started back in your city? Can your kids come at all? I mean, no one's really thought about that hardship yet. So it is going to be very, very tough. It's going to be tough for families. Guys, I mean, it's just me, my wife, and a dog here, and it's going to be hard for me. Like, I don't know yet if I'm going to go for the whole 100 days, and I'm only 3 hours from Orlando, because I don't know if it's fair to my wife to say, I'm going to be gone for 100 days. I can make that choice. The NBA guys really can't. I mean, I guess they can. They have until the 24th to decide if they want to opt in or not. It's a really, I understand what they're going through, because I'm going through it myself. It's a smaller scale for me. No one's going to notice if I'm there or not, but I get it. And it is hard. And plus, I mean, this is going to be so hard to play without fans, to go through the testing every day. You've got all of these societal issues going on. There's this virus that's among you. You don't know if you're risking your health. You don't know if you're risking your life. The mental aspect of not having your support system that you normally have at home, that's going to be a huge factor at Disney, guys. I mean, you can FaceTime your wife and your friends and whatever all you want. We need people. And at Disney, these guys are only going to have their teammates, really. And I think that's going to be extremely hard mentally on all the players that are going to be there.
Why is it so? I mean, obviously, you list the numbers, and we all know the virus is real. That's, no one's debating that. But in terms of, like, the NBA versus the NFL, which, you know, the NFL is going to fight, like, tooth and nail to not have a bubble when they come back, then this will be a little bit later. Is there any chance that some of this stuff gets lifted, that they lax on this stuff if the numbers, you know, go down as they progress?
You know, I a month ago I would have said probably, but the way it's looking right now, kind of hard to think so, isn't it? I mean, and that's, we can hope. I mean, look, this document, I think the word subject to change in this protocol shows up quite a bit. I mean, it's all subject to change. It could get worse. It could get easier. There is no, like, for example, in these protocols, there's nothing that says you are absolutely going to be tested every day. They might get to a place where they're not tested every day.
Okay.
Maybe if they go X number of days and nobody's positive, if everybody's respecting the bubble, if the system works, there could be some relaxing, sure. But this, the way it's been explained to me, you had Florida Department of Health, you had Orange County and Osceola County. It's complicated because Disney's property actually sits on two different counties, so you got two different governments involved down there. You've got the NBA, you've got the CDC, you've got Disney, all of these entities coming together to come up with a number that they were comfortable inside that bubble. I mean, Disney has space for every guy to bring their family now. They have that space.
Yeah.
It's what they thought they could control for now. I mean, you can tell there's a lot of concern about having too many people there and then having an enormous number of problems. I mean, could the rules be relaxed? I suppose, but it would take a pretty substantial downturn in the testing numbers, and there's nothing to suggest right now in the trends that that's going to happen anytime soon.
Sure. You know, there were some talks. I know, you know, the Cavaliers are a team. That's our team, of course. They're not in the postseason or not even in the regular season here, the final eight games. Is there any talks of any sort of you know, practice time that those teams that did not make this league are going to get, or some exhibition games or anything like that?
I don't think exhibition games so much. I do think what's going to happen is once the league gets past this chapter, once the league gets past this and can now focus on the next thing, focus on the other eight teams for a little bit. I mean, the Warriors are pretty adamant that they don't want to do much of anything other than get their guys together and practice. But I do think you're going to see maybe all seven of the other teams. I don't know why it wouldn't be. Get together like NFL teams do in training camp, you know, and just kind of go live against each other for 3 or 4 days in September or October and just break it up a little bit. I think you're going to see the NBA go to OTAs. I think you're going to see them allowed. You're going to see teams bring their guys back and do some work. And I do think you'll see maybe some scrimmaging. But as far as like a league, like an NIT type situation for those eight teams,
yeah.
I don't think anybody really wants to go that far, because can you imagine the fallout if, heaven forbid, Colin Sexton got hurt in what would be quote unquote a meaningless game? So there's a risk reward factor, but I do think you're going to see off-season programs that are formalized, sure, for a change. And I think you're going to see teams, you know, getting together and maybe messing around a little bit with one another, but nothing wildly different than that.
We're talking with Tim Reynolds of the Associated Press. Tim, what do you think about the plan that they came up with in terms of the amount of teams they're bringing there and the potential battle for the eighth seed at the end? Did they get the right plan, you think?
I don't love it. I don't. I mean, I understand you've got to set a cutoff somewhere, and they set the cutoff at six games. So you've got 13 teams from the West and nine from the East, which basically means that if Washington makes up a game and a half on, I forget who it is, I think it's Orlando.
Yeah.
Then they're in a two game series. Like, I don't like the idea that all Washington has to do is finish within four games of the Magic and then beat them twice, and then they suddenly pass them. Like, I don't like that idea necessarily. What I wanted was what I would have done was bring back 20 teams. Bring back the top 10 in each conference, have 7 play 10, have 8 play 9, and just get into it. I know guys wanted to play games, and I understand the reason why guys are saying they want to play games, but honestly, after the Lakers clinched the one seed, after the Bucks clinched the one seed, do you think we're going to see LeBron in these games? Do you think we're going to see Giannis in these games?
No.
And do you think, I mean, these are going to be the equivalent of preseason level games, guys. I mean, they really are for a lot of these teams. No one's going to be playing 40 minutes. Like, the Spurs are trying to make up ground. The Kings are trying to make up ground. I get it. They're going to be playing hard. What's the motivation for the Lakers to go hard in these eight games? So I don't love it. I think it's too much. I would have preferred almost going right back to playoffs, shorten the time that you're there, make it a little easier for everybody. But this is a business, and there's a reason why the NBA and Disney, and remember, Disney owns ESPN, there's a reason why they wanted these games. So we're going to have these eight games, like them or not.
Last thing, Tim. Originally, they were talking about, I think, December 1st is the start of the next season. That obviously seems like a quick turnaround, and the players didn't seem to like that idea. Where do you think they end up starting the next season? Assuming, you know, and it may not be a safe assumption, but assuming we're not delayed again by the virus.
Yeah. Assuming there is a season, exactly what I was going to say.
Yeah,
I think it's going to be right around December 1st. I don't think it'll be any earlier than that. But there's going to be a movement, guys, to get the season in. I know this notion of start on Christmas, that's great. But, you know, keep in mind, for these eight teams, the layoff is already going to be 8 months. Yeah. For the six teams that leave Orlando after those eight seeding games, the layoff, even if you start on December 1st, it's still going to be pretty close to a regular offseason. Yes, you're going to have to cram in the draft and free agency and those sorts of things, sure. But, okay, you can do all that in 6 or 7 weeks. It's not really that big a deal. For the teams that go to the finals, yeah, they're only going to have 7 or 8 weeks off. I get it. They're going to be back in training camp 5 weeks after the parade. I get it. It's a really nice problem to have if you're NBA champion. So it doesn't affect too many teams. I do think one thing people need to remember is the longer next season goes, the more very real chance of a collision with the Olympics. As of now, the Olympics are still on. As of now, NBA guys are still down to go. And it's a really big deal, particularly for the international federations, that they want Giannis in the Olympics. They want Nikola Jokic in the Olympics. And, of course, you know USA Basketball wants to send the best team they can. They got Greg Popovich. They've got Steve Kerr. They got Lloyd Pierce. The USA Basketball guys, believe me, they want NBA guys in the Olympics next summer. And if the season starts much after December 1st, then you're going to have really slim pickings to try to put an Olympic team together.
Tim, we appreciate the time, man. Thanks for joining us.
Take care, guys. Thanks for having me.
All right, Tim Reynolds.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.